times like that's a good time to receive whatever you need from God. I know some of you maybe aren't used to being in a service where people are just freely praising God like that. Maybe you might feel a little nervous. Don't get nervous. You're just in church, just with God's people and your family. But I'm going to tell you, you miss out. If you don't understand this, you miss out on a good opportunity to receive whatever you need from God. His name is the name above every name. And when, you know, Hebrews 13 says that our praise is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Whenever we are giving thanks to his name, that's praise to God. And when God's people praise him and they declare his name, there's strength, there's power, there's authority right there. That's released as we declare his name, as you declare his name. You're releasing all the authority that we have in his name, which has access to all of heaven's power. So if you need help in your body or all the things that Matt just had us declare, Jesus is Lord over any part of your life. It's a great time to receive. So don't let moments like that go by and just, you know, be like, well, what are we doing next? That's your moment to receive from God. Just as if somebody called you up front and had a word and said, thus saith the Lord. You got to take it. You know, it's interesting. The Bible word for receive is not. But when you go to church and you see God's people, you think that must be what it is. But it's not. That's not. The Bible word for receive is like those running backs on the field. That they throw their whole body up in the air and stretch out every fiber trying to grab a ball out of the air so they can bring it in and tuck it under their arms and run like crazy to the end zone. I just thought I'd put it in terms some of you could understand. That's receiving, and that's the picture you need to get. You just, you know, I've often had people tell me they're uncomfortable that people raise their hands in church. Well, some people are raising their hands because they're receiving. They're reaching and stretching out. Y'all don't seem to mind when they're running down, you know, the field and they stretch out like that. Y'all cheer them on. You think, man, let's watch that again and again. Well, you know, when somebody's reaching out in church, stretching out to receive, come on, we should be cheering them on. Stretching out to receive all that God has for us. Y'all, Jesus, he paid it all. We might as well take advantage of it. It's not humility to say, no, well, not today. Look what he did. Talk about stretching out. Look what he did. He done stretched it out. Now let's do some stretching out and receive all he's got for us, right? Don't let those moments go by. You can do that anytime, but there's something about us being together. You can feed off of the people around you. The Bible is very clear. When we get together, there's something real special that's going on. Something real special is happening. And so you come in a place like this, and God's people are praising him, and you're with your family in Christ. It's a great place for you to receive. And I can testify myself, I have definitely received more healing in my body sitting on that chair than I ever have anybody laying hands on me. Praise God. And I've just got to acknowledge Jeff Allison is in the house. Sorry. We've been missing Jeff and Amy. Jeff's dad went on to be with the Lord this week, and so he needs some little extra loving from y'all today. Glad you're here. Grace be unto you, my brother. Grace be unto you. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Well, we're in a special time, a special season here at Good News Church. If you don't know it, we're on a mission here. We're going somewhere. And right now, we're talking about our mission in very specific terms based on a word that the Lord gave to us through Lee Grady last October. The Lord's just been stirring it in us all through the end of the year, and so we just thought we'd just out there for you the first of the year here. If you hadn't seen it already, I invite you at the end of the service to go back and look at this great job that Kristen and Vanessa partnered up to do on our back wall. They just put the words out where we could see them. They're also printed on the back page of your bulletin, and it's the word. It's not Lee Grady brought the word, but it was by the Spirit of God. Y'all know the Bible is inspired words, right? that God inspired people to write down. Well, in the same kind of way, this was a word for us, and I just want to go over it with you. And it's just, you've heard it a couple times recently. Several significant doors into the community. So he's talking to us about our mission and our mission here. Now, our mission's not just here. We have a whole mission. We have a whole ministry that's happening that's not anywhere near Augusta, Georgia. It's on the whole other side of the world. But this is about this community and what we're doing here. Unusual doors, outreach doors. Well, that's not a shock. Other doors you didn't think of. I like that. It's like God's, teasing us. Open doors. Those are the best kind, aren't they? A door to immigrant community. Hope that doesn't make you nervous. That's very exciting to me. Door to troubled youth opening. And not just your troubled youth. Oh, sorry. Unfolding. Inside turned outward. In gathering. Maximum love setting. Good News Church shine brighter than ever before because of their love for one another. So there's a lot there. As we've been praying, if you've showed up for prayer, we've been praying over various parts of this. And we started out just praying about the love of God because where the word ended seemed to be the place we should start. That we would shine brighter than before because of what? Because of our love for one another. And last Sunday, Pastor preached a great message, maximum love setting, that was inspired by those words of inspiration. So we've talked about that. First two Sunday and Wednesday nights of the year, I shared basically along the lines of practicing real love. This past Wednesday, Nate had a really interesting message on you better go and love yourself, inspired by the Bieber himself. But anyway, it was like youth pastor Nate showed up last Wednesday night. It was really cute. But anyway, but there's some good stuff there about conceit. And other things, comparison, other C words, of course. But today, as we continue on, as you can see, I made up a word. The word we have that the Lord gave us was the word ingathering. But what I see is that before we can ingather, we first have to us gather. And so today we're going to talk about us gathering. Because we could have ingathering and that'd be great, but if we're not ready for ingathering, we're gonna make a mess. And it's gonna be messy enough, guys, without that. Like Eddie said, harvest is messy. No, he didn't know what a mess of corn was. You know why you don't know what a mess of corn is, Eddie? Because you've never prepared the corn. But if you've ever cut corn off the cob, you are left with nothing but a mess. And I was the one always had to clean up after you went and got the mess, brought it home, and my mom scraped that corn. The whole kitchen is covered with splattered corn, and it was a mess. So I know exactly what a mess of corn is. Faced it many times. And that's kind of what harvest is in general. It can be messy. But y'all, we got to start with us gathering. Us gathering before the ingathering. And so we're going to start over in Hebrews chapter 10. These are some verses that we prayed about and been praying about this week. Verses that are not new to you if you've been at Good News Church for any season. And let us, verse 24 of Hebrews 10, let us consider one another. How about that? Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this epistle was written to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But it seems like these people in this day had the same problem we have in the American church today. Some people been laying out, and that's what they had. The people had been laying out, and the writer here is encouraging them, hey, verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, if you know anything about the early church, you might think they had an excuse. And for sure, it was a better excuse than any excuse you have. Because the act of gathering for them in itself was an open door, an opportunity for persecution. Because you understand, the early church faced real persecution. We read about it, where some of them were stoned to death. And if you read about how the 11 who were left after Judas, those apostles, how their lives came to an end, all of them but John died young, or younger than they should have, and they died terrible deaths. The worst one, I think, was Thomas. He was flayed alive for the sake of the gospel. Now, if that would have been, part of your fate for assembling, I could say, hey, maybe you don't show up at church too much. But y'all, we don't have anything like that going on. We face an entirely different problem. We face what I call the Mark 4 problem that Eddie mentioned earlier. The same reason Eddie didn't go to Granddaddy's house and find out how to farm and harvest is the same reason that we don't assemble often. It's the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and that pesky little lust for other things. Sometimes we get over into offense and affliction, but oftentimes it's just mostly the cares of the world. Beat my brains out all week trying to make it in this world. I'm going to sleep in today. Deceitfulness of riches. Going to work. Working 6 days isn't enough. Got to work 7 days. Or lust for other things. And that could be any kind of thing. But I'm not here to bash you and beat you up. I'm here to talk about the good stuff and the good reason to come to church. And I think that really, when it gets down to it, one of the major issues is that we have failed, and by we, I mean the people who stand in places like this, we have failed to convey to people like you that sit in chairs like this or pews, we've failed to convey to you the purpose for you coming to church. And in fact, I would say we've promoted to you the wrong reason to come to church. So it's really on us, because we have spent a lot of time saying, come to church so you will get this. Come to church so you can enjoy this. Come to church so you can see or experience this. But when I'm reading the Bible, it doesn't talk about coming to church for those reasons. Really, you can't really find very much in the Bible about that at all. But that's what we shout. That's what we advertise. That's how we market church. It's going to be great. You need to come so you can get something. Whereas when I read the New Testament has a whole lot to say about us and what we do when we're together. And it has very little to do with what I'm going to get. And it has everything to do with what I and what you are going to give. And I don't just mean when they pass the basket. That's a really small part of your part. And funny enough, as much as I appreciate live stream, and especially today for Bobby and Denise who are home, and Bob and Sue Lee, that it's a real challenge to ever get out to go anywhere. And other people like that, thank God for live streaming, and people that are in other places around the world, even Guam, that watch our show. You don't know this, but we often have as many people watching online as we do here. It's pretty amazing. Every week we get a report on the numbers. Some weeks it's astounding. We've had services where we've had more people online than we've had in the service. More locations watching. That's crazy. So when you think about it, that's awesome. But it also opens up an opportunity for people who could be on the seats to say, well, I'm going to keep my seat. You know what I mean. And don't come here because you think I can get what I need to get at home. Well, maybe you can get what you need at home. You can get you can certainly get a lot. You can't even get all you need. But I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be really hard for you to do what the Bible says church is about just on the other end of a live stream feed. So I apologize on behalf of the people who, stand in places like these for telling you the wrong thing and misleading you. And I'm going to today look in the scripture and let's have a change of our heart, a change of our perspective, and a change of how we think about what we're doing when we're at church. One thing that struck me as we've been praying these last 2 weeks, because as I pray, I always have my Bible. because we launch our prayers from the platform of God's Word. We always look in the Bible, we find scriptures. One thing that's amazed me in these last weeks is how much the Bible says about us loving one another. I think, you know, the world has an idea that the church is supposed to love them, like this is what they, you know, kind of throw in our face whenever we, whenever anything goes crosswise for them. They always say, but you're supposed to love us. And it's true, we are. But the Bible doesn't talk near as much about us loving the people of the world as it does about us loving one another. And I'm going to tell you, Paul wrote extensively about the churches loving one another. If you just read his epistles, you're just overwhelmed with how much it instructs us. And it says something to me when I read those things he's written. We're going to read some today. It tells me this. People back then were a whole lot like people today. They got offended with each other. They were in it for themselves. They were focused on what they could get. And they were very much, you know, about me first. And I'm telling you, it's human nature. No wonder they were like we are. But we have a new nature in Christ that supersedes our human nature. We have a spirit nature. The Jesus man is who we really are. We're no longer Adam man. So let's tap into this new, abounding, overflowing love that's been shed abroad in our hearts. And let's really love one another. As Matt read last Sunday, let's practice real love. All right, let's talk about this a little bit more. It says here in verse 25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. In fact, let's just read it over here in the Amplified. Verse 24, let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. So this is talking about coming to church or gathering, wherever we gather, because we're the church wherever we gather. If I see you at Target, we the church, we gathered, all right? So let us give continuous care to watching over one another, studying. Boy, that's an interesting word, studying. I know a number of you are in school. A lot of you take online classes. I hear about your travails, loud nose, some trouble there. But that studying thing takes effort and energy, frustration, time. Studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite. Some of y'all like to stir things up, but not like this. Some of you are real good at inciting stuff. I've seen your posts, but look what we're stirring up. That we may stir up love. That we may stir each other up and incite people to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. That's what our job is when we're together. Whether we meet up at homes, we meet up, you know, in the atrium, wherever we are, this is my job with you. This is your job with me. This is our job with each other. And part of it includes not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers. This word assemble is interesting to me. It's not just about gathering or coming together. It's an assemblance. You know, in our family, we're pretty big on puzzles. And anytime we get together, we have puzzles. We have big, well, anyway, we have an issue with puzzle buying. But anyway, it's quite puzzling. But we have, we go on vacation and we have puzzles. It's like, and I think the reason we like puzzles is because it gives us something to do with our hands while we're talking. We really like to talk, so it gives us something, you know. So we like to put together puzzles, and back over the holidays, and you've heard me tell, we had all these people in our house, and so we had some puzzles out, and one day we were putting together this puzzle, and there was a piece missing. Do y'all hate it when you put together the puzzle, and you get everything together, and there's something missing? It's frustrating, right? And then you have the big hunt. Everybody's hunting. You hunt everywhere on the floor. At our house, it's usually the dogs, you know, it dropped on the floor, the dog took it and ate it, and you find it later. That's what happens many times. We have many puzzles that are missing one chewed up piece. But, you know, but we had this situation. It's one of my favorite puzzles, too. And we couldn't find this piece, and we couldn't find it. So it was like, okay, well, we were done. We assembled our puzzle, but it wasn't fully assembled. Something, you know, was left out. And so, like 4 days later, Becky, who married Harry at the end of the year, my new daughter-in-law, Becky comes in and she's got that puzzle piece in her hand. She was staying next door at Nan's. She comes in, she has that. She goes, "You wouldn't believe where I found it." And I said, "Where on earth was it?" She goes, "Well, there's been something in my boot all week bothering me. And I finally decided to put my hand down in there and see what it was. And this is what it was." Somehow or another, that piece had fallen down into her boot down. And she'd been carrying it around. And that had prevented us from assembling our puzzle. So now we have all our pieces. If only it were that easy to find you. But when we assemble, it's not fun to put together a puzzle when you have a third of the pieces. That's not an assembly. An assembly is when we're all together. And here's the other thing. When you assemble a puzzle, it's not assembled when you open the box and everybody's there. It's not assembled until everybody's put into their place. And God, in his magnificent wisdom, and by a work of the precious Holy Spirit, he desires to fit us all in the place that he's designed for us to be. And we all fit within the body. And it takes some time to figure out how to assemble and how to find your place in the body. And you know, when you're putting together a puzzle, I'm really good at looking at, I take a piece and I don't just look at what the face of it looks like. I look at how it's formed. Because if this side is open, I'm not going to find another open to go together. Those two don't go together. I need to find the one that fits. And it's the same way with us. It takes a while. If all we do is just see each other on the surface, we can maybe get a general idea, but we really have to study each other. You got to study those pieces so you can see right where they fit. Isn't that right? Y'all ever done puzzles? Y'all need to come over today and us do a puzzle so my message will make sense. If you aren't getting it, see me afterwards and we'll assemble for puzzling today while the Vikings play tonight. Okay, so that, think of you in those terms and think of us together assembling. We have to see each other. We got to study each other and see how can I connect. Now y'all just look around for a minute. Turn around, look around here. Now, you may not realize this, some of you do, but you're looking at one of the most diverse congregations in the city of Augusta. You know? I went to a funeral yesterday. One of the first things I noticed, it was packed. There was hardly anywhere for me to sit. And I was early, so I was shocked. It was so packed. But you know what else I noticed? The only people there were people that look like me. I noticed it straight away. You know why? Because I'm not used to going places where everybody there looks like me. And I don't want to go to a church where everybody looks like me. So you're looking at it, and it's not just about what we look like, but if we dug a little deeper and found out what we were really like, what where we went in our day and what we did and how our lives were and our backgrounds and all that, you'd see we are really diverse. So we got to look down a little bit below to find out how can we connect with one another. And saying, "Hey, how about them dogs?" That ain't connecting. And if that's all we got to offer each other, y'all, we can do that with the world. We got to study to see how we can know each other so I can figure out, and you can figure out, how is it we're going to incite each other? How are we going to encourage and stimulate each other to good works? We got to do some study, and that takes time. It takes some listening. It takes some heart-to-heart time. Take some intimacy. I had some of you till right then. Now you're scared.
Not intimacy.
Yeah, knowing and being known kind of stuff. Very exciting, right? It is, if you really knew what it was like. If you really saw what God had for us. So you can't do that popping in, you know, once every few weeks. You can't do that on live streaming. You can only do that when we're up close and personal, listening. You can't do it darting out the door as soon as amen comes. You got to take some time with each other. You can't even do it just being here together. It's going to take some time assembling in some other spaces and some other places. And he went on to say, as is the habit of some. And some of you have just gotten in a bad habit. You just gotten in, let's just face it, it's not that you're a bad person, you just picked up a bad habit. And look, we all got bad habits. That's why God gave us New Year's, you know. Or something like that. But it's a bad habit to forsake the assembling of yourselves. And you say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't feel good. Again, it's about you. Or you may say, well, I don't really need to go to church. I feed myself. Again, it's not about you. See, all of your objections are all based on you. And is not love the foundation of Christian life? Is not the one who modeled what it meant to be Christ-like, the very Christ himself, is he not the one that said, greater love? Has no man than to lay down his life. And then what did he do? He turned around and did it. And he's just asking us to do what we've seen him do. He's just asking us to do what he himself did for us. Lay down our lives one for another. Do y'all think I come over here for me? If I came to church for me every time I came, y'all wouldn't hardly ever see me. But then you say, well, Susie, you're supposed to come for me. You're supposed to be here. You have to come, you know. We pay you to come. Some of y'all, that's a shock. I'll never forget. I got to hurry. This is so funny. Somebody had been in the church for 10 years, a lady in the church. And I'm talking to her in the back hallway, and we're just talking about something that happened. I said, yeah, I was at work and blah, blah, blah. And she let me see. She said, you work? And, I mean, it startled me. And I said, yeah, I work. She said, where do you work? I mean, honestly, she'd been in the church 10 years. And I said, I work here at the church. And she said, so that might be news for some of you. I do work. It doesn't look a lot like work most days, but I do work, and it's here at Good News Church. Just, there's my life. I'm just being open with you. Anyway, just a little side note there, a little personal indulgence. It's not about me. Gotta thank you, Grayson. But here's the deal, y'all. Here's the deal. I get paid to do this, but honey, maybe the reason I get paid to do this is because I learned to do it a long time before anybody ever paid me to do it. There's some of you, you're so good at it, I wish I could pay you to do it. This is something that we do because our master told us to do it. He showed us to do it. Love, love, love gives. Love spends time. Love opens its eyes and its heart and its hands and looks, opens its mouth and says, what can I do? How are you? What's going on? And opens its ears. Wow. This is what he did for us. And this is what he said you do for each other. Y'all, the Bible is full of this. This is primary. There's more about this than God meeting your needs. But I'm telling you, if we learned to do this, we'd have a lot less needs. Because what we see in the early church is their needs were swallowed up by their love one for another. Let me say that again. I don't think you heard me. It's the truth. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we could go there, but I got other things to show you. Their needs were swallowed up in their love one for another. They were. So I think we need to learn more about this. And you may be saying, well, I don't feel like this. What you're talking about, I don't feel like this about this church or about these people. Well, if you don't, please seek God and find out where you do fit. If you don't fit here, and please go find your place and fit there and plug in and love them. Love them. Because we're gathering. Us is gathering because there's going to be more of us. And because we're on a mission and God's opening doors, and we got to be together. Because before we ever send anybody into battle, we first gather. And we train. And we come together. And we all get battle buddies. Because we gonna need them when we're out on our mission. Because we won't survive without each other. We're not going to make it in the field without each other. We don't send anybody out on mission by themselves. In the New Testament, Jesus never sent people out on their own. He sent them out in groups. He sent them out in pairs. He gave them battle buddies. And we got to gather so we can get our buddies. We can get what we call our crazy faith friends, because we're going to need them. And you don't want to wait till you need them to try to find some. It's too late. You need to find them now. And how do you find a friend? The Bible tells us, if you want friends, you show yourself friendly. You be a crazy faith friend and you'll have a bunch. So you don't have to worry about when you need it. Is somebody going to be there for me? They're going to be there for you. This is good preaching today. All right. Let's go back. Ha ha. This habit of some, but admonishing. It says in the Amplified. It says in the new the King James or New King James, exhorting, admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another. So when we come together, this is what's primary. We're studying to incite each other, to stir each other up. And here it says admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging, exhorting. And all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Wednesday night, this was one of our prayer verses, and we were gathered back in the commons praying before Wednesday night service. And I for some reason, I just kept thinking of that exhorting, because I like that word. It's a word I really identify with, exhort. And so I started doing a little study about that word. Y'all, I found out something I never knew. This word exhorting is a verb, and it's like the verb form of the word that is used in the scripture for the comforter. In John, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete. It's the verb form. It means to call one to calling, a calling to one's side for aid and support and help. Y'all, that gave that a whole new meaning to me, because you know what it means? It means that my role in your life is to do in your life what the Holy Spirit does. To allow him to work through me, to encourage you, to comfort you, to support you, to strengthen you, to aid you, to stand by you. That's what we're to do for each other. We're to exhort one another. We're not just to pat each other on the back, say, how you doing? We are to stand with one another. We are to comfort one another when we need comfort, but we're to challenge each other. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does in your life? He comforts me, but just as much, he challenges me. He urges me. Sometimes he says, boy, that's a mess. What you gonna do about that? No, he says, what we gonna do about that? And that's exactly what we can do for each other. Sometimes the Holy Spirit sees something in me that I've never seen, and he brings it up to me. Good things. It says, have you considered this? These are the things that we can do with each other. You're saying all this, I don't really know what you're talking about. I tell you, encourage, comfort, strengthen. These are good places to start. Find someone and say, there's something really special about you I've noticed. And I think God put that in you and brought that into the kingdom because it's needed and we need more of it. I see things in all of you that's just marvelous, wonderful things. I kind of consider it my life's mission to dig around in there and help you dig it up, bring it out. There's just marvelous, wonderful treasure within all the people that are sitting here today and all the people that are on live stream. But it's really hard by yourself to reach in there and dig it out. You don't even notice it often. And you got an enemy that's always telling you ain't nothing good in there. It's really powerful for someone else to come up and say, no, there's something really wonderful in there. And I'm going to take hold together with you and we're going to bring it forth. And I'm going to ask you about it next week. And then we're gonna study together how we can develop this and work this out. How strong would we be as a people if we did that? Or we can stick with the dogs. Okay, exhorting. Hallelujah. You know, in the early church they had, I just want to bring this up. I've been reading about this. In the church, they had these things called love feast. Y'all ever heard of these? Agape feast. In fact, the word agape in the Bible, it's the love that God has for us, an unselfish, committed love. But oftentimes, that word also carries with it the meaning of a love feast. Because starting in the early church and throughout church history, there's been this practice of God's people gathering over food, and not just communion, but they gather over food, and they gather over food for the purpose of loving one another over food. And it's been a practice, and I think we've lost it. I know maybe in the earlier days, you know, of the last century, I think people still kind of had it in some ways. But I think today it's been, by and large, it's been lost. I mean, we may have a meal after church. We're going to have one of those coming up this spring and we're going to eat. And I think for most of us, what that means is, you know, I don't have to cook if we do this. Or I'm going to bring my special something that everybody is going to make over and they're going to like it. Or we get to taste different foods. Or some of you, it's like, that's my cue to get to the car to get out of here so I don't have to be around these people anymore. You know, just being honest. But the early church and the church through the ages practiced love feasts. They ate together all the time. But the purpose for the eating together wasn't because you're a better cook than me. Or I don't have enough food. The purpose was, we're going to sit down and we're going to take this time and we're going to talk from our hearts and we're going to love each other. Because love is not a feeling. Love is something you do. And we're going to love each other. And we're going to take this time over food to love each other. And I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to share with you. And I'm going to be open to you. And I'm going to get to know you. And they called these love feasts. I think we should have some love feasts. Where it's not about the food, who makes the best chili. What was that spice I tasted? It's not about that. It's about me and you. And us gathering. Because we're so busy and we have so much else going. One of Harry's roommates at ORU, Farhan, dear, sweet Farhan. Some of you know he spent a summer here. Farhan is kind of has an unusual background because Farhan is Pakistani. That's his, you know, ethnicity, I guess. He's Pakistani. But he's Christian, which is very unusual in Pakistan. Raised in a Christian home. But then when he was real young, his dad moved the family to Saudi Arabia. So he's a Pakistani Christian who moved to Saudi Arabia, and now his father pastors in Saudi Arabia to a group of expats, Pakistani expats that live in Saudi Arabia. So they're this little clump of people far from home. Even if they were home, they'd still be a little clump because they're Christians in a very strongly, you know, Muslim-dominated culture. So there they are. And it's interesting to talk to Farhan about what their family does for celebrations like Christmas. Because you know what our Christmas traditions are. I don't have to go into that. His Christmas traditions are very different. They don't even buy gifts. Christmas to them means all the church gathers up and we trek off to the mountains where we rent some houses near each other or some places or we get some tents, whatever we can. And we stay together, the whole church, all of them, we stay together through the holiday. And we stay up all night, and we pray, and we praise, and we eat, and we sing, and we play games, and we talk, and we pray, and sometimes we cry, and we laugh a whole lot, and this is what we do. And in those holidays, when he can't be there with them, he's so sad. And I'm like, no wonder you're so sad. Because we're going to have, you know, a cantata. You know, we're going to go look at Christmas lights. But they're going to share their hearts. Boy, we have a lot to learn from our brothers and sisters that aren't as sophisticated as us, huh? Maybe they know a thing or two. Hallelujah. Y'all know I don't quit preaching at noon, don't you? This is your warning. Get out while you can. 1 Peter 1:22. I talked about this on one of the Wednesday nights. If we do it, I wouldn't have to preach as long. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Fervently, passionately, white hot love one for another. But one of the meanings of this idea of fervent love, to love someone fervently, this fervent is actually a picture of fervency, and it's a picture of someone stretching out their hand. And when the scripture says here, when Peter's writing and he's saying to them to love one another fervently, he doesn't mean just, you know, wherever you are and happen to be, whoever you're near, you know, just show them some love. Don't be offended by them. Be sweet, as my short granny used to tell me. Be sweet. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, stretch yourself out towards others in passionate pursuit of a loving relationship with them. Stretching yourself out to them. And see, we don't necessarily like to do this. You know, you sometimes may be sitting here today thinking, you know, I don't really have those kinds of connections that you're talking about. And, you know, I've never really had them, and I don't feel them here. I feel like this is my church, but I don't feel like I'm connected like that. I'm just going to challenge you today to love people fervently. And I'm going to just say to all of us today, let's start stretching ourselves out to each other. Stretch yourself out. Well, I'm not really comfortable with that. Well, yeah, you got to stretch out beyond your comfort. You got to stretch out, you know, beyond what you were raised to do. Some of us were raised to sort of just stay to ourselves. Let's stretch out beyond that. Let's stretch out to each other. And see, here's the thing I've had to learn in my life is most people don't reach out to me. Most people, you know, they're here. If I leave them alone, they'll leave me alone. I'm one of those pesky people that don't leave people alone too much. I like to get up in people's business, get up in their face. Some of you might be thinking, that's why I don't get near you. I don't like how much you touch me. I'm kind of a touchy person. I might kiss you. I'm sorry. I found out when Lee Grady was here, it's scriptural. That just sort of freed me up. I've just been laying it on them all the more. But some of you, I had you till then. Now you're done. You're like, she's talking about kissing. We're not going there. Y'all, I'm just telling you, love abandons its own comfort. Love abandons its own security, its own sense of self-preservation, and it just stretches out. Yeah, I'm going to be uncomfortable for you. Yeah, I'm going to listen to you tell me things that ain't nobody ought to be hearing. But somebody's got to listen to them. People need to be heard, man. People have been hurt. And they need healing. And if I can be like the Holy Spirit and bring healing and comfort just by listening and just by looking at somebody and saying, I'm really sorry that happened. By looking at somebody and just saying, look, that should never have happened to you. It wasn't your fault. Just by looking at somebody and saying, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. What you've done is no worse than what any person has done. And Jesus took all that shame. People need that, y'all. We all need that. And if we're not going to do that, who's going to do it? And this is why it's so sad. We have Christians walking around all over the place, and they're so deeply wounded. Many of them won't even gather, much less assemble, because they're so hurt. So we're going to have to stretch out to them. We may have to go out where they are and share with them that love that's been so freely shared with us by the Holy Spirit. They've been accepted in the Beloved, but we don't accept them. We got to change that, guys. God is accepting them, but you're not accepting them. You got a problem. God has affirmed them, but you won't affirm them. You got a problem. We got to stretch out, guys. And it might be a little uncomfortable. I remember it's a story I tell when I travel sometimes. I remember a story Philip Allen told me about a time he went in a place. And I can't remember exactly the interaction right now. But some kind of interaction. And the guy looked like he was having a hard day, I think. And Philip said to the guy, look, you look like you're having a hard day. Let me buy you something to drink. He's like in a convenience store. And Philip had in mind, let me buy you a Coke. And the guy got excited. And he didn't pick out a Coke. He picked out something that Philip doesn't normally buy, if you know what I mean. And Philip's face with the moment of, I told him I was going to buy him a drink. He picked out the drink. What am I going to do now? And Philip bought it for him. That day, Philip had to stretch a little bit. That might mess with some of you. Let God mess with you. The devil's been messing with you enough. Might as well let God mess with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll just pick one of my final scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4. As you're turning to Ephesians 4, verse 1, the Bible says in the message, Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible, those verses I just read in 1 Peter 1, he says, love one another as if your lives depended on it. That's good to think about. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you and beg you to walk, lead a life, this is an amplified, worthy of the divine calling to which you've been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service, living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience. Y'all hear these words? Bearing with one another. And making allowances because you love one another. Y'all, we need to learn to make allowances. We need to be very good at making allowances for one another. Because let me just tell you this. If us gathering bothers you, you're not going to make it for the end gathering. If you can't make allowances for the people that are here, you're going to really struggle when the people out there that are coming here come. It's going to be too much. You will have stretched out and broken. So we need to go ahead and practice our making allowances, because we got a lot more to make allowances for. So we're going to have to get better at making allowances. How many of you think you're pretty good at making allowances for other people? Raise your hand. And then I appreciate the people that didn't lift their hand. I appreciate that you're like, yeah, I'm not too good at that. Grace. May grace abound. May grace abound. Some of you, you like it better when truth abounds. Why don't we let truth and grace abound? Then we'd have love. Praise the Lord, making allowances because we love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit and the binding power of peace. I love this. Verse 4. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you received. This when I was talking about it on a Wednesday night, I talked about, y'all, there's just one body. We're just a small little piece of the body. There's a whole body around the earth. In fact, all the body's not even on the earth. The family is here and in heaven. There's a big body. This is one little piece. We have each other to practice on. We got a lot of people that we're part of. And if we're having trouble with each other, how are we ever going to make it in heaven, y'all? We got the whole body there. People really different from you. We're going to have to learn here. There's only one body. One body, one Spirit. Verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading and living in us all. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually. So there's not just grace upon all of us. There's actually something individually that God has deposited within each person. Not indiscriminately, but in different ways. The reason we have to make allowances for each other is because God has formed and shaped and designed us to be different. Just like the pieces of the puzzle are different. He's formed and shaped and designed us to be different. So we have to make allowances for each other because other people are different from us. But God formed us that way so that we could fit together, so that we could be stronger, so that we could form something much more beautiful together than we ever can on our own. Given to us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Here's the deal. You don't realize it. You think I can come what I need. I'll just get what I need. You don't realize this, and that's why it's so important I say this. What you need today doesn't just come from up here. What you need today doesn't just come from the Spirit of God in the atmosphere. The people who are around you have within them gifts, grace from God that you need. And if you don't assemble and stretch out and make allowances, you're going to miss the very grace you need. Because we desperately need the God that is in each other. And my life is not sufficient on its own. And I will never be who I am called to be in Christ, just living me and Jesus. No matter how well I know the word, no matter how much time I spend in prayer, it's only just a portion of what is required for me to grow into the fullness of who he's made me to be. And the same is true for you and for all of us. So if you don't make, you know, if you're not accessing the grace that is around you and the people that are around you, you're missing out. And if you're not making that grace available to others, they're missing out. And you're withholding. What are you withholding? You're withholding the very life of God. The very thing other people need, you're withholding it. Have you ever been the answer to somebody's prayer? Have you ever been the key to their miracle? If you've never been that, I tell you, missing out, you're missing out. That's one of the greatest joys in life, that you are a person who really is pivotal in somebody's walk. You're a person that they can look back in life and say, that's the guy that made the difference for me. You know, I was at that funeral yesterday and just talking about all the good works that this man did. And he was a wonderful man and it was a great father. And he was 82, you know, But I was sitting there, I was thinking, the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is what impacts eternity. It's the only thing that matters. But we spend all of our time on that which is so temporary. But what I do for you and in you and work and incite and stir up, together we do great works for the kingdom. We make a supply. We bring forth fruit for the kingdom. And I can help you grow. We don't just grow on our own. We help each other grow. I can help you grow. I'm looking at people that I've helped grow. I'm looking at people that they have helped each other grow. We can help each other to grow and be more like Jesus. And we can keep adding and bringing forth in each other what God has put in us. It's awesome, y'all. This is what it means to gather, to assemble. This is why we come together. Do we have messages? Yeah, that's scriptural. Do we praise? Yeah, that's scriptural. But let's not forget this part. This is just as critical. Just as critical. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just a real practical note here. People will come into your heart. God will put people in your heart. If you'll just open yourself up at all, he'll put people in your heart. If somebody gets your attention, there's something about them, strikes you, that's somebody, you start reaching out to them. And you don't really have to have a reason, you know, you don't have to even come up with a natural reason. You just start reaching out to them. Just stretch out. Have a conversation on purpose. Follow them into the bathroom. I'm just saying, whatever you got to do, corner them somewhere, get to know them. Invite them over. Say, hey, you know, won't we just have lunch today after church? I only got 2 pieces of chicken, but you can have one. Just doing what you can to move out from beyond yourself. And if you have a desire for the supernatural in your life, this is the way into it. The supernatural comes out of love. You see that in the scripture. Jesus was moved with compassion. And that's where the supernatural came in. Y'all, had a situation, I can't tell you too much about it, but I had a situation several months ago. Really weird situation. I had somebody on my heart. And I'd just kind of been praying for him. Didn't really think much about it, but just somebody, you know, and had kind of had him on my heart. In fact, I had texted him and had gotten a couple, you know, gotten replies, but didn't see anything. And I was in the house, walking through my house, carrying a laundry basket. And when I walked through the bathroom door, the moment I walked through the bathroom door, it was like I walked into something else. Never had anything quite like this happen. It was literally like I walked into something, carrying my laundry basket. And suddenly I saw this person, and I saw what was going on in their life. And y'all, it was so far off my radar, I could never have told you that this is what was going on in this person's life. You just would not have even imagined it. And I walked into it, and it hit me. I fell on the floor. And it was like something hit, you know, Harry tells you about being hit in his gut. It was like, I mean, and I'm just on the floor, and I don't even really know what to do with it. And then my next thought was, God, forgive me for thinking this terrible thought about this person. Because I thought what I was seeing was so awful. This is a terrible thing to see or think about somebody. But then I realized it wasn't me just having a naughty thought. It was actually God showing me something. But I was so overwhelmed about it, I couldn't even talk about it. I couldn't speak. It took me a while to get myself together. And I went in, and I was going to tell Matt about it because I was so overwhelmed. And I walked up to Matt, literally walked up to Matt. He's sitting down reading. He looks up at me, and I stand there, and I go, for like a minute, and we just stared at each other. I didn't say anything, and I finally just walked off. I don't know what he thought. Probably thought, I'm glad she let me keep reading and didn't just talk to me. I couldn't even talk about it for a while. But because of that, what it ended up happening is the Lord, through a series of events, I spent 3 days with this person, just in the most raw, intimate ministry, some of the most raw, intimate ministry we've ever done, ever. But it was really one of those moments where you felt like you were snatching somebody right from the very jaws of death, of hell itself. And I look back on that and I think, why? And I remember during it all asking, why me? Why am I in this situation? And I realized it's just because of the willingness just to stretch out. And that wasn't because I was Pastor Susie. It wasn't anybody in the church, nothing like that. This was some totally outside random thing, you know, something completely unattached to being this. And I look back on that and I think, isn't that how we're supposed to be, all of us? We so long for the supernatural. We so long for God to use us. We got to learn some things. God wants to use you like that. He wants to use you to jump in front of somebody and the devil having his way with them. Let's stand. Praise the Lord.